Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So we're going to look at the scripture this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." In other words, this body we have, we offer it as a living sacrifice. In other words, we still live, but we offer ourselves and what we do with our body and how we live, we offer it unto Him. And it says that is our spiritual worship. So, you know, just a little side note, that worship isn't just when we come to church and we sing some songs and we call it praise or adoration or celebration, whatever it is, and you take a moment and you think about Him and sing to Him. And that is worship. It's a part of worship. But our worship, our act of worship, it says here that how we live, this is our spiritual act of worship. In other words, our worship isn't just limited to songs. It's also how I live. How you live, you know, day to day, not just on Sunday or when you come to church. And this is our act of worship. It's not this isolated moment where we sing or where we read a scripture or we pray. It is all the time. How we present our life to Him, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we act, the attitude we have, how we treat people, how we respond to people who mistreat us, all of that is our worship to Him. You know, there's what higher act of worship is there than to, and I'll put it in human terms, like a young boy looking up to maybe some sports figure, and he kind of idolizes him and wants to become like him. Or a child wanting to become like one of their parents, or a teacher, or whoever. It is a form of worship. So what greater form of worship is there than to want to become like God and act like He does in character and virtue in the way we live this life? So it goes way beyond just these moments where we go to church or go to a religious service or whatever it is. It's how we live every day, every moment is our spiritual worship to Him. So it says this, so don't conform any longer. Say this, any longer. Say it again. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to, you know, I refer to this verse probably a lot in my life and ministry. You know, this focusing on being transformed, renewing our mind, thinking and coming into agreement with God. How does He think? Getting to know Him. And this transforming the way we think and the way we live our life. Well, to help us do that, Paul, who wrote this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he tells us to do something first, or I don't want to say first, it just comes before this, but it's in partnership with it. It's not just becoming transformed by the renewing of our thinking. There's something else that we need to do, and that is we need to stop being conformed by the patterns of this world. Now, it's not just these general patterns of the world, but also the patterns of that I've set up in my life. You know, of my past, how I think, how I function. Maybe the pattern I've set up was in my life was to, I don't know, distance myself from people because I've gotten hurt. So now I put in motion this pattern of not trusting, not getting close, not being vulnerable, all of that. And so now this is my pattern. Where God talks about, his pattern would probably be a little closer to forgiveness, still love, continue to be open to relationships, okay, all of that. God works towards reconciliation and living like that, free of the consequences of the hurt and pain that we experience somewhere. So there's this pattern of the world that says, oh yeah, you got hurt? Well, you know what? You go and you, you know, I get it. You know, we all have our patterns from our life before we knew Christ. And what happens sometimes in our life is, we come into faith in Christ, we make it very personal. Not just this religious obligation where we go to church, we go through the motion, and that was nice, and then we get on with our life the rest of the week. But where we make it very personal, where Christ, we don't just believe in him, we become followers of him. And there's a difference. I wish they were synonymous, and we use them as being the same, but following Christ is like this living out of this faith in my life and how I live, how we live, because of our faith in him. And so we live different. And so here it means I don't conform any longer to the old patterns of my life or the patterns of this world. I now am transformed by the renewing of my mind in this faith in Christ, so that I can know what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is, like the scripture says. And so we got to change our thinking. We start to deal with things in life differently. We come from a different motivation and maybe doing things. We consider God's will when we're making a decision, and instead of just, you know, going around the bush from our perspective and then doing what we want. So what happens when we come into faith in Christ, sometimes as we put this faith in him, and it's new to us, it's very personal, it's not just religious anymore, we come to this faith in Christ, but we bring along with us our regular old life patterns. I have faith in Christ, I'm forgiven, I read the scripture, I pray, I go to church, you know, we do these things, I read the Bible during the week, and I talk to him. But yet we bring along with us all these patterns of our old life and expect that we can operate still by these patterns as we're now a Christian. And what happens is we need to forsake our old patterns that were based on maybe just human wisdom and our perspective or what our best friend said or, you know, the way we thought was best after whatever we went through in life. And so we look through that filter and think, well, this is best. And so this is what we do. Rather than, and we bring that with us, so rather than allowing ourselves to be transformed by the power of God's Spirit in us, to begin to think differently like he does, knowing his will, that I can now overcome what my mind remembers from the past, but I don't have to live under its influence anymore. I now live under the influence of this renewing of my mind in who Christ is and knowing him. We live in this culture where there's all kinds of patterns of the world around us. Not just our own patterns that we have that are probably a little carnal and fleshy and whatever, the way we live life, but the patterns of the world around us. I mean, we live in a day and age where we are inundated with thoughts and patterns from the world. Whether we invite them in or not, whether we willingly, you know, pull them up on our computer screen or we get it from a movie or whatever it is, not just the willing stuff, but we can be driving down the road and we just see something. Or you're listening to something on the radio and somebody says something and we try to kind of embrace this pattern and thought, and we're just inundated with this. And our culture, because it's changing, it as if it slowly just kind of erodes our conviction that we've had in our faith in Christ. Because it's just little by little. I'll just tell you this. Outside my house when you come out the front door, you're standing on a little concrete sidewalk. And then you, if you continue to step, you will walk onto where the driveway blacktop seams up against the concrete. Well, there's this place right on the edge of the concrete and in the blacktop that dips down like this. It's just, you know, so big. And it just, it dips down. And it's gotten worse over time. I'm gathering that at, when they first did this, I didn't own the house then, you know, that it was probably pretty flush and sloped appropriately to push the water away. Well, this indention is there, and I thought, what in the world? Well, as the roof comes out, it covers, when you come out the door, there's an overhang, and then it ends on a corner. And this last year, I had adjusted the gutter because either it was installed wrong or just over time it moves. But, you know, it was kind of sloped away from the downspout part. So all the water collects on the very end of it, and it has no outlet. And the water runs down this way, and plus there's a little crack in the seam, and there's a little hole in the gutter. And water would not pour out of there, but just kind of drip. And it would hit this spot, this indented part, and it would pool there. And, you know, in this nice balmy weather we have now, I mean, you know, it turns to ice. It's, you know, and then it thaws, and then when it rains, there's a puddle there, and then it would wash into the seam and kind of wash away. But over time, the dripping, which at the time when you walk out and one drip hits you on the head, it's like, oh, no big deal. It's just a little drop of water. But the continued drop by drop, the dripping, the pooling, the seeping into the sea, it begins to erode and wash out, and that's where this indention came from. It was just little by little. So in our Christian life, as we are in this culture that has its own patterns, different than God's, that we're not supposed to, you know, be a part of the patterns of this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, in other words, a new pattern, so that we know what God's will is, opposed to the patterns of this world or the worldly pattern. We just look at it from that view, that humanistic view, and other people's opinion, and all of this that seems wise to them. And we know that Scripture says that, you know, the wisdom of this world is like foolishness compared to God. And so we live by these patterns. But as we're Christians, we're inundated with this. And if we don't build up and maintain by rubbing against and living in these next to these patterns of the world and them rushing by, it's like it slowly erodes away our conviction. We get used to our culture. We get used to it. You know, culture changes and things change and we kind of go along with it. And yet, not just going along with cultural change, which can be acceptable, but it begins to chip away at some of who we are and what we know to do and what we have known as God's will and convictions in our life, and it just begins to wash it downstream. It erodes. I want to give you a visual of this so you can kind of picture this in the kind of an earthly parallel, a physical parallel to what happens to our life when the patterns of the world, we conform to it, and it just brings an erosion to who we are as a person and our faith in Christ. Mary, would you go ahead and play this? Justin? You see, it's like this, just this little bit starts to go, and kind of the patterns of this world kind of rub up against us, and it just begins, grain by grain, just to erode our life, our conviction. It's just little by little. It's not this big blast. It's just this everyday, you know, happens. And so Paul writes to us, and he says, listen, don't conform to the patterns of your past or the patterns of the world or your worldly thinking, or don't conform to the patterns of the world around you, but rather, okay, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look what Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is what it says now. It says, but mark this. This is what how he starts out. Now, I don't know. This is God's word to us. Everything in it is already important. And yet he emphasizes, mark this. I mean, to me, you know, we should be marking the whole book. But it's like he's giving this extra emphasis and saying, listen, mark this. Highlight it. Pay attention to it. Don't forget it. Put it on the forefront of your mind. As you go through life and have to take in all kinds of information, mark this. You watch this. This is what's going to happen. He says, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. They will be lovers of money. Boastful. Proud. Abusive, disobedient to their parents. They'll be ungrateful, unholy, without love. They will be unforgiving, slanderous. They'll be without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. They'll be treacherous, rash, or impulsive, or quick to react. They'll be conceited. They'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness, but deny its power. In other words, they'll go through the motions of looking like they're a Christian and they believe in God. And yet, all of these other things that we talked about, this list that Paul writes, and it's not limited to this list. He's just saying, here's a bunch of things. And there will be a lot of other things that kind of go in that group. But here, let me give you a list of what it looks like. He says, mark this. This is how the people are going to be in the last days. Well, if you look at that list, and we look at the day we live in, and the culture around us, it kind of sounds like today. Even if we were maybe to look at ourselves and get honest, we'd say, gee, you know, there's a handful of things on that list that describe who I am. And so, he says they'll have a form of godliness. In other words, they can go to church, they can go through the motions, they can, you know, go to religious things or whatever it is. They'll have this form that looks like godliness. But how they live will be like the patterns of this world. And so back in Romans, Paul writes and says, don't conform to the patterns of this world any longer. In other words, any longer meaning we all have. We all have to some point, at some point in our life, and probably all of us in this room still are getting through the process. The Holy Spirit's working on us and changing us and, you know, sanctifying us. We've already been sanctified, but we are also in the progression of being sanctified, the process. And we're supposed to transform and renew our mind in who Christ is. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we interpret our past. Instead of just conforming to a pattern we come up with, because of what we went through or what we've been told or what we've watched or what we've done to somebody else or what we see in the world or on TV or here or whatever it is. We conform to that pattern and Paul says, listen, don't do that anymore. That's not good for you. It's not good for me. He gives a list here in Timothy of kind of what it looks like. Look, in Jude, it says this, verse 18 and 19. He says, they said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow after mere natural instincts, and they do not have the Spirit of God. So as we look at what Paul writes in Romans and what he writes to Timothy, and it describes the patterns of this world and what it looks like. And then we look at Jude and says, "This, yeah, another guy is saying the same thing. This is This is what it's going to look like. And they're just going to follow after their own mere instincts. And Paul's saying, don't do that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why is it so important to have our mind renewed? Or to come into agreement with God on what he says and how he looks at things? Here it is. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this. If we renew our mind, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we will be able to test and approve what? What God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, if I'm just operating by the patterns of my own life, even if I believe in Christ, or for the world around me who maybe don't believe in him, and they just kind of operate in their own patterns, their own thinking, understand that when we do that, we never connect over to what God's will is. Because we're busy thinking in our own patterns or the patterns of this world that just slowly try to erode our conviction and what we know from God's word to be true. It's just little by little, little by little, little by little, little by little. Just because some compromise becomes popular in our culture doesn't mean that it's acceptable to God. Now, it doesn't mean we throw stones at those people or throw stones at us. It's just that we have to understand, don't let that erode and change what we know to be true. There's a vast trend in our culture. I'll just give one of the obvious things, okay? Now, if this is your situation, I'm not throwing stones at you. Not at all. Hey, man, I'm still trying to work out my own salvation and holiness with the Lord. So I'm not throwing stones at anybody here. But one of the great trends in our culture is, you know what? Live together, have sex before marriage, and just kind of see how all that works out. Now, we know in the Scripture that, you know, you're not supposed to have sex before marriage. You're not supposed to fornicate, you know. And I'm not throwing stones here, okay? We all have a history. Maybe you're currently in this situation. I'm just telling you that it's become so popular and our culture has gone that way that we as the church, though we are receiving and accepting of people, don't for a moment let that erode a conviction, knowing that that is outside of God's laws and commands and outside his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay? Now, for the person who's in that situation, hey, come on. We're not throwing stones at you. We're not condemning you. We've all got our own sin. But, you know, when we become aware of it, we should be thinking like God thinks and now change our life to fit what he thinks rather than conforming to the patterns of this world. See? See, the benefit of being transformed by the renewing of our mind is that we now know what God's will is. And as that process begins to happen, we know what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is, and therefore we should be living according to it. When we don't transform our thinking and allow him to renew our mind, and we stay over here in our own pattern or the pattern of this world, we disconnect now from what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. We'll look at God's law or what God says, and we'll kind of justify it in our own way. And we'll kind of play with his word a little bit to kind of work to our advantage. Or like we have this special relationship with God. And after all, I sang at church and cried a little bit. So, you know, hey, I'm connected to him. And yet we live in direct disobedience to what we know should be his will and purpose. So this applies to all of us in all kinds of areas of our life. And as our culture changes and we rub up against it and it rubs by us, it just begins to erode what we know to be true of his purpose and will. And Paul's saying, listen, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. In fact, in Jude, the 20th verse, it talks about build yourself up. Don't let the patterns of this world tear you down and God's your walk with Christ down and all of this, but build yourself up. And it says, by praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who wrote this word inspired it through people to write us that we read from and we live our life according to with God's help. You know, none of us are perfect, certainly not the guy on the platform today. But hopefully I'm moving along and renewing my mind. And here's the thing, it's not a one-time experience to renew our mind. I live in this world just like you do. Don't think because, you know, I got the title REV, or the letters REV before my name, that, you know, I'm immune to the world and what's going on. Because those of you who here who know me, I don't just sit in here and wait for people to come and see me. I get out, and I go to places. And I go to your workplace, or I go to in the marketplace. I'm out with people. I'm reaching people. There's people I visit with, have appointments with that are not from this church. So, you know, I'm acquainted with the patterns of this world, not just by being with them. I'm acquainted with the patterns of the world because of me, where I've come from, my patterns that I've got to forsake and be transformed and think differently. But the patterns of this world, they can erode us. Listen, I know what it is to walk away from being at a place and being with people and begin to have my thoughts a little bit change or doubt a little bit. And I'm not talking about doubting salvation or anything like that. But, you know, and all of a sudden I go, whoa, wait a minute. That's the philosophy of this world. Oh, no. I'm not conforming to that pattern. I have got to renew my mind. So renewing my mind is daily. Well, even more than just once a day. I've got to go back to His Word. Why do you think we read scriptures that we've already read before? Because it renews us. It reminds us. It does a work in us. It's living. It becomes a part of us. That's why reading His Word is so important and understanding. The same Spirit that inspired the Word, that's why it's written in Jude. You know, you don't want to become like this, and you need to build yourself up, so pray in the Spirit. The same Spirit who wrote the Word. Pray in the Spirit. Pray by the outpouring of Pentecost, like we read about in Acts chapter 2. Pray in the Spirit because it renews, it builds up. So that we can stay connected to what is God's will? What is God's purpose? What pleases Him? You know, Sue the other day, she made a comment. She found a bunch of old pictures. She said, I have pictures of all these dogs we've owned. I'm just telling you, we have owned a lot of dogs in our married lifetime. We've had litters of puppies. We've had different breeds of dogs. And so I have trained a lot of puppies. And, you know, you come to the point where they got the collar on and you put a leash on them. They don't know what to do. Sometimes some of them pull, some of them just lay down. Some of them, you know, they don't know what to do. And you teach them little by little and you keep them on somewhat of a short leash. Okay? You don't give them 100 foot of rope. That's a different kind of training. But, you know, you keep them on a short leash, and pretty soon they learn, you know, and the reason you have them on this shorter leash is because you want to convey to them what your will is for them. I don't want you to run out in traffic. I don't want you to get hit. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want you to, you know, put your nose into the back end of that porcupine. I've had to pull quills out of my dog's mouth. A few of my dogs. It's all of these things. And so you and I, in our relationship with God to learn His will, it's kind of like He's got us on a short leash. Okay? To walk with Him. To know Him. To know His will and to know it's for our betterment, it's for our protection, it's for our joy. I want my dogs to know that being with me is a good time. It's safe here. This is where you get pet. This is where you get praised. This is where you get fed. This is where you get watered. We live life together. It's interesting when a pup begins to do real well on the leash where they're not pulling anymore and you stop walking and they just know to sit and you start out and they walk with you right by you. You stop, they sit, and you go through this, you train them, and it's amazing. You know, you pet them and praise them, and then one of these times you unhook the leash. But they don't know it. And you start walking. And you stop. And they're going through. They're walking by you. They sit down. They walk. They sit. It's a wonderful, oh. It's like, Well, having this dog right now is no headache at all. But then there's a point where they discover they're off the leash. And they want to range a little bit, and you got to put it back on them and say, ah, get over here, get over here, get over here. Or you train without a leash, and you use just a stick, and you know, there's different ways to train them to heel, and you know, just kind of poke them on the chest, not poke them hard, but you kind of keep them by, you know, there's different ways to do this, but I'm just using the leash example. So you, and all of a sudden, what they learn is that at the point where you can take the leash off, we want them to begin to want to walk by me. And this is like with God, if we will not conform to the patterns of the world and our own patterns, but we would renew our mind, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, okay, to know what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will, we come to a point where we know His will and we want to walk with Him. We want to begin to think like Him. When we're on the other thing and doing our own patterns, we probably don't even think about that. We don't want to do things God's way. We want God to do things our way, right? Oh God, if you could just, you know, put in my mailbox $25,000 tomorrow, that would be great. Because I need this and I need this and I want this and, you know, that kind of thing. And oh, and by the way, the person who, you know, really did me wrong, if you could kind of like make them really sick. I don't know if you pray that honestly with God. I don't know. I'm just having a little fun with you. But, you know, it's our way of thinking. That guy treated me wrong. Oh, Lord, the next girl he falls in love with, I hope she's really mean to him. You know, I don't know how this works for you. I'm not saying I pray like that. I'm just, you know. So that's the patterns of the world, you know, that worldly thinking. No, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds to know what God's will is. See? That we want to walk with Him. We know that life by Him is good. He feeds us. He cares for us. He protects us. He shows us affection. He watches out for you. We're in step with Him. It doesn't mean every road we travel is going to be great. But we're with Him. He's with us. I mean, what greater security is that? To know His will and purpose that way. You know, the patterns of this world, I mean, if we just kind of float through and say we believe in Christ, but we don't renew our minds and we don't stop conforming to the world, it will erode what we know to be true and the faith that we say we have. We will compromise. We'll let culture steer us of what's acceptable and what's not and what's sin and what sin isn't. I mean, you have to remember, that's why God sent His Son to save me from all my sins, all my corruption, to heal me, to bring me into relationship with Him and not just leave me to myself. We want to renew our mind and be a good testimony of who God is. I mean, none of us are perfect, but we want to be a good testimony of Him, of His grace, of His mercy, of His power to transform us. That's what we want people to see, so that they could get to know Him, that they could have an interest in Him, that they could learn that they could trust us. Because maybe they've been hurt somewhere, and to meet somebody that they feel like they could trust. Someone who will be sincere, someone who will listen. Someone who isn't promoting Christ and yet living their own life pattern. Listen, you have a lot. People have different liberties. You know, now, none of us should have the liberty to steal. Bible's clear, don't steal. But there's other things in this life that we have to make judgments about. How we live. You know, Paul writes that all things are permissible for him, but not all things are beneficial. If you look in Corinthians and in Romans chapter 14, it talks about, you know, you may have liberties to do certain things as a follower of Christ, but other people who are following Christ don't have the same liberties to do things. I want to say this to you. You know, we may have certain liberties, and therefore we just go ahead and carry out our liberties to do certain things. And it can be confusing for people. People who maybe aren't Christian, and they look at it and go, "What, you say you're a Christian, you go to church and you've kind of invited me, but I look at how you live your life, it doesn't look any different than the people who I just spent Friday night with." How's that work? Or for people who are believers and they look at us and we have a liberty to do something and they don't, and now they go, "Is that acceptable? Oh, is that okay for me to do?" And you can say, "Well, that's their problem." No, no. Paul writes about this. He says, listen, if you have a liberty to do something, but it creates a stumbling for your brother or sister, then don't do that, or do that in private. Okay? Not where it's seen. You know, if we have liberties to do certain things in our life, and you just say, "Well, I have a liberty and that's their problem." No, do God and his people and the people who don't know God a favor by being consistent. And if you have a permission to do something or liberty to do something, do it in the privacy of your life so that it doesn't become a stumbling block or people who don't know Christ look at your life and don't wonder, "Ooh, gee, is that okay? They say they're Christian, but gee, they're going here or doing that." And it's not like we're saying, "Don't judge me." It's just that we send a mixed message. And is it that we're doing the things according to the pattern of the world, or are we renewing our mind to be transformed and know what God's will is? Paul writes about these things because they're very much a part of our life and living in this world, but not according to its patterns. Listen, when you post stuff, I'm going to say this. If you post stuff on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or these other, whatever all these things are, you have to forgive me, I'm not on any of them, and it's not like, "Oh, I'm holy, I don't do them." I just don't do them. It's not like I'm, if you do them, that's bad. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just telling you that if you are involved in these things, and you want to post everything that you have to do, that I have a little problem. Anyhow, okay. If you have to post all this stuff, which, can you be mindful of what's in the picture? Be mindful of what is in the background or what's sitting on the table in front of you. Because you can be sending mixed messages. And whatever's going on in the background and in front of you, you may not even be a part of, but understand the message that you're sending. It's like, "Hey, I'm a Christian, but here, this is the pattern of the world." We got to be careful for the sake of other people. So we can just say, "Well, that's their problem, and they shouldn't be judging me," and et cetera, and we can have our... Listen, Paul puts a responsibility on us who have liberty to do certain things. We should not carry out any liberty at the cost of someone else's benefit. If you have a liberty and permission to do, then do it at home. If you enjoy it that much, just do it at home. Do it in the privacy of your life somewhere. And I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm talking about you generally have a liberty. You don't have a conviction about things. Holy Spirit hasn't convicted me about this. The Scripture doesn't say I can't do this or that I should do this and I'm not. Okay? Go back to the basic. Don't conform to the pattern of this world any longer. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you and I do that with the help of God, we will then know what His will is, what pleases Him, what His purpose is for us. It becomes clearer, sometimes in advance, sometimes at the moment the inspiration comes from Him to us. But it's not just being transformed. It's also, I'm crucifying the patterns of my life, my old life, my old way of thinking, the world around me. And I got to stay renewed. I got to be filled with Him. I've got to go to His Word. He gives me hope. I live in this sometimes crummy world, and I live at work where there's all negativity and all complaining and nobody does their job and you get frustrated and you just want to, wait, no, I need to go back and look at this like God does. I just got to be faithful. I got to work with joy. Yeah, I got to be, you know, one who takes care of my responsibilities regardless of what others are doing. And I can be this whole healthy person in the midst of conflict. See, that's God's way. You can't use what's happened in your past as a license anymore to think according to what you want because you've been hurt, you've been misrepresented, or because maybe you've been the villain. No, I cannot conform to the patterns of that thinking anymore. I've got to be renewed. I've got to be transformed in this new thinking that I find in Christ alone.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.